A scripture this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, towards the end. To really understand this reading, I think you need to look at what has come before. And if you want to go way back to the time of the kings of David and Solomon, when they brought the tribes of Israel together, following Solomon's death, his sons took over. And Israel actually split in two, northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and Samaria was their capital. To the south was Judea, and Jerusalem was their capital. And the border was just north of Jerusalem. Now this took place almost 900 years before the time of Jesus. Now, the New Testament, it's kind of easier to follow because it's more compressed. The Old Testament can become really confusing because it covers such a long period of time. So 200 years after Israel split, the Assyrians came in and took over the northern part of Israel. So they actually invaded Israel. And the people who lived there were absorbed into the Assyrian culture. They basically disappeared. They no longer existed as a people. And if you ever hear the phrase, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, that's who they're talking about. This happened 200 years after the kingdom was divided. And this is right around the time when the book of Isaiah begins. And the book of Isaiah covers almost 200 years. The first part is about life in Judea. And the main focus of Isaiah is that people have turned away from God. They have walked away from their faith. And the book goes on and on, warning people about what's going to happen. The second part, the middle part, is called the Babylonian exile. The Babylonians have come in, they've overtaken Judea, and they have removed the people from their homeland. And they've gone into exile, lived in captivity. About 60 years later, Babylonians were invaded, and they lost. The people of Israel were given, once again, their freedom. And they returned home. And the last part of Isaiah is talking about the restoration and coming back home, coming back to reestablish Jerusalem. But there was one really big problem. When they left, new people came to live there. And they called it their homeland now. Those problems you can still see today in that part of the world. But this is where this reading comes from. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought of as a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Quite a description of blessings to come. When I think of this time of year, traditionally of giving thanks and celebrating Thanksgiving, my mind always drifts back to when I was a kid and the celebrations we used to have. See, twice a year, once on the 4th of July, not only was it our nation's birthday, but it was also my dad's. And then on Thanksgiving, we would invite the whole family to our house for celebration. So my mom's side, my dad's side, we'd all come together. Thanksgiving was a little extra special because my grandparents would also be there. See, my mom's mom and dad, Steve and Ruth Britton, were originally from Maine. They ended up in Connecticut and raised their family in Prospect. And when they retired, they went back to Maine. And they found a homestead in a little place called Springfield, Maine. It's about 500 miles from here. It's a long drive. I remember as a kid going to visit, you'd have to be in Maine a long time before you were even halfway. It wasn't easy to go to Grandma's house. So we would go there for a week during the summer, and then they would consider coming south for the winter and come to Connecticut. And in the second floor of the home that I was brought up in, we had an apartment for them. They had their own kitchen and living room and bathroom and bedroom, their own little space. And they would show up shortly before Thanksgiving, and let me tell you, my grandfather had quite a garden up in Maine. And you talk about a bountiful harvest. He would bring the garden with him. All the vegetables he could put in the car. My grandmother loved to pick berries, so there'd be blueberries and raspberries and blackberries. And they would all come down just before Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving Day, everyone would show up at our house. Everyone would bring a few dishes to share. And there were about 18 cousins. So 18 kids between, you know, late high school and younger. And with all the adults, we had close to 40 people at our house for Thanksgiving. Our dining room and living room was one great big long room. So the dining room would be turned 90 degrees and more tables would be added. And there'd be this long table that'd go all the way down. And the room behind the fireplace was a den, and there'd be two tables set up in there for the youth to go eat. And sometimes there was even a table set up in the kitchen so there'd be room for everybody. And the food was just incredible. The buffet went on forever. All the casseroles and salads and meat and homemade biscuits. And we would all stuff ourselves. And then they'd clear that food away and bring out dessert. And there'd be just as much food again. And my grandfather would always say, we have it backwards. We should always have dessert first. And then we'll have the meal after that. And there'd be football games being played out in the backyard. And kids running around. And people just reconnecting. It was just a magical, magical time. And when I think of it, I can't help but smile. Inside and out. And I know we all have memories like that. Just moments in our lives that just make us smile. You know, if you think of it, it's a lot easier to give thanks when you have a smile on your face. Try to be thankful when you're upset or sad. It's nearly impossible to be thankful when you're angry, when you're mad. Recalling all those moments from when I was a chubby little kid running around on Thanksgiving to today, I have so much to be thankful. I think I'd probably run out of daylight or I'd run out of things to be thankful for. But giving thanks is not just about looking back, looking at today. it's also about looking at tomorrow. It makes me wonder what's waiting around the corner for me. What happy memories, what moments of joy are out there waiting for me. I have to go find them. I just have to go live them. But I also have to be careful. Because I know that I need to not let my life get in the way of living. All those things, especially this time of year, that pull at us and make us think we need to have this, we need to have that, we need to do this, we need to look this way. They really, in the end, they don't matter. But what happens is they keep us from seeing those beautiful moments that bring us joy and make us happy. And also, they make us miss opportunities to be a moment of thanksgiving for somebody else. Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to stop for a moment, to look at where we are, where we have been, and where we're going. And when needed, it also presents us with a gift. Simply start over. That's what today's reading was about. Was starting over, a fresh start. But in order to receive that gift, you have to be willing to change. The very first two sentences are, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." I don't think this reading was just for the Jewish people. I think this was meant for everyone. Can you imagine at the time if everyone had just stopped, forgot the past, and built a future together? Everything in this reading could have come true. Everything in this reading could come true for us. So I give you a very short message this morning. Giving thanks should not just be once a year. It should not just be an event that we look forward to. And then it's gone. But rather, an ongoing part of our lives. It's a pause to see where you are and to figure out where you're going to go. The journey ahead is up to you. All those moments of joy and beautiful memories are out there just waiting for you. You just have to go find them. You just have to go live them. Amen.